I want to share with you for a few minutes about anticipation. I think anticipation is an excellent definition of Christmas. I think about when our children were little, maybe you've got little kids, and you know, Christmas is such an exciting time to be a child, and it's all about anticipation. It's the getting out of the Christmas tree and all the decorations and putting it up, anticipation. I remember, you know, wrapping presents and gradually over several weeks putting more and more presents around the tree and different family members walking in and going, ooh, I wonder what is there for me, and, you know, trying to keep the kids away from shaking the presents and seeing what was in each one. And then, of course, Christmas Eve and the anticipation of Santa coming and the children getting into bed early and getting to sleep, even though they're so excited. And then in the morning, you know, what we did was we'd scatter around those little chocolate money coins everywhere, and the kids would come in. I got to say, we were very blessed with our three children. None of them wanted to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I talk to other parents and their kids are up at 4 or 5 o'clock on Christmas morning. But our kids, they would sleep in till about 8 or 9. So that was really good. Thank you, children. I really appreciate that. And then they'd come in and they'd see that Rudolph had gnawed away on a carrot, and Santa would eat half a mince pie and half a glass of milk and all of that. And then it would be the sitting around and doing the presents. It was all about anticipation. Their eyes would sparkle with anticipation, just like the elderly man who was on his deathbed at home, barely clinging to life, when one afternoon he smelt his absolute favourite thing baking in the oven downstairs, and I'm talking about Anzac biscuits. After hours of anticipation, the biscuits didn't arrive upstairs for him, and so against all odds, he unhooked himself from his IVs, creaked to his feet, and hobbled slowly down the stairs, where he beholds a platter of delicious, freshly baked Anzac biscuits on the kitchen table. With all of his energy, he reaches out to get a biscuit, and his wife comes along and slaps him on the hand and says, "You leave those alone, they're for your funeral." So much for anticipation. Israel had awaited a saviour, a champion for centuries. They'd heard the prophecies told and retold. When would Messiah finally come? And then the angels visit. And Elizabeth, first of all, the elderly woman who had never been able to bear a child, she would finally give birth to a son. Anticipation. And then Mary, the young woman, betrothed but not married. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. And Mary was left to anticipate what all of this would mean for her and for Joseph, for Israel, and for the entire world. And so they waited with great anticipation. And at last, the baby was born. The first to be told were shepherds, not the religious, not the influential, or the wealthy. Shepherds, part of a certain group of people that in first century Israel were referred to as sinners. They were considered to be at the bottom of society. They were impure, dirty people, untouchables, if you like, perpetually unclean. And yet the message of Messiah rings out to them first, which really tells us something of this marvelous Messiah and his message. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Anticipation. And then the Magi, the wise men, the stargazers. How appropriate that God would communicate with them in this way. They saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their anticipation had prepared them for generosity. But then everyone had to wait for the baby to grow up. Anticipation for 3 decades. Years of growth and preparation, maturing and training. No shortcuts, no room for impatience or youthful pride that thinks itself ready before its time, but lots of hopeful anticipation of wonderful things to look forward to at the right time. It's a timeless story, an enduring message of hopeful anticipation that the world revisits every year. And as we emerge from 2 years of uncertainty, I encourage you to reflect on the Christmas story and anticipation. What are you looking forward to this Christmas and through the new year? How will you exercise patience and humility? What can you do to prepare for the future? And are you building your life on a firm foundation? Make sure your hopes are not based on things that can be shaken, because anticipation needs to build on a strong foundation. True hope is built upon the foundation of the God of hope and of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And so this Christmas, let's look forward with anticipation for all that God has for us. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person who is a part of Bayside Church and others who are engaging with us at this time. I pray that you will fill their hearts and lives afresh with hope and anticipation of good things in the time to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.